This episode of On Asphalt Bones contains apocalypse, loud, jarring sounds throughout the episode, violence, including graphic audio depictions and gun violence, death of a main character, allusion to divorce, broken homes, mentions of neglect, mentions of child death, discussion of mental illness. Listener discretion is advised. The Listless Network presents On Asphalt Bones, Episode 11. Rejoice, for someone up there is watching over you.
Lest I lose my head.
Hello, Inquisitor.
Who are you?
I am God.
God? But you look so familiar.
How would you say?
I don't know. You have such kind eyes. Where are your eyes?
Why? On my head, of course.
Your head.
Home of the brain. The psyche. Did you know clinical death is defined as the cessation of cardiac functions? Your heart stops pumping blood. Biologically, however, death occurs in the brain. Truly, the mind is the seed of the soul.
Why are you here?
I came for you. I missed you, Inquisitor.
You missed me? But why?
You took something from me when we last met. Something I want back.
Why are you wearing armor?
Do I wear it? Or does it wear me? It's a curse in many ways. A wall behind which I hide stifles me. I'm sure you know what I mean. Mine is iron, but yours? Yours is in the mind, in the soul.
You don't know anything about me.
No? Well, let's see here. Abandoned by those you serve, cared for out of pity, not love, but pity, by people you cannot begin to deserve, even now, just following orders you were never even present to receive. Sorry, did I miss anything?
No.
We are alike. You and I, we're both awful. Both alone. Both killers. Although I must say, Inquisitor, you have refined the art way better than I mean, to think of what you did to that poor, poor soldier.
Remove your helmet.
Excuse me?
Your helmet. Remove it. I want to see your face. God.
Very well. Better?
There's nothing there. Where's your head?
Exactly where you left it. Painted across a concrete wall. All this time I spent wasting away in the ether, when I could have been here now with you, enacting revenge. You took everything from me, Inquisitor. A feeble prisoner. A lowly soldier who just wanted to see his kid. Well, here I am. And now I think I'll do the taking instead. I went by the name the Headless Horseman. It was stupid, really. A little joke I told myself. Horseman, because that's who I was. Cavalry, cannon fodder, and, well, I'm sure you can figure out the rest. I roamed the world. Mindless. Faceless. Purposeless. Stripped of ambition, of identity itself. People saw me and they knew fear. Not that of a monster, but that of certainty. What becomes of us after we die? And why? What cruel god would allow it to be this? Wind blows across where my soul was stored. But I am unaffected by the cold. No blood flows, Inquisitor. None yet. None but yours. I wonder, how do you feel about biological death? Perhaps it's too good for you. Perhaps I should simply...
It won't be enough.
We can agree on that. But it's a start.
You don't see it, do you? Either way.
There's no chance. Your insides are on the floor. You're hopeless.
She's here. Almost. The way the branches bend the light around her like a halo. Didn't you miss her?
but I didn't think I could still bleed. Yes, of course I can bleed, for my heart is still out there, somewhere.
She holds it close. I'm sure of it. Don't forget me, Julia.
Inquisitor? Inquisitor? I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Help! Help! So, a moment alone. We never really got those after Gab came along, huh? And you were always so busy with work. I was working too, you know. It is what it is, I suppose.
Do you remember the office party back, what, 3 years ago? Right before it all happened? He came straight to it from training, still in uniform. Deborah could hardly keep her eyes off him.
What a creep.
Yeah. I heard Thorpe only keeps her on because her husband can get the coffee pods the office uses. Did you know that they've been illegal since 2016?
What for? The lead or the glass?
We were at the party, and Deborah was making eyes at him. He looked at her only once, and I swear that if looks could kill, Deborah would have turned to ashes there and then. Then he looks around, real subtle, doesn't want anyone to take note of him. And sees you, set by the far wall. He turns to me and he's welling up and he says, "She's so beautiful." And so I say, "She's your wife, you're married." And I see this full-grown soldier just start to weep in front of me. Turns out that after a full day of physical, all it takes is one drink to take you out.
That sounds like him.
I'm sorry that you had to go through all that.
I just did what I had to.
I know, but even after that with the Inquisitor being out for the count too, we never even got to give him a proper service. Just put him in a hole in the ground.
These things happen, apparently.
We can change that, though. Do you want to say a few words?
No.
Oh. I can go, if you'd rather. Okay, I'll go. Let me know if you need anything.
Where was I? Something about moments to myself. Waking up, getting Gab ready, taking Gab to school, taking myself to work, getting back, cook, clean, pass out in front of the TV. You were only there sometimes. So don't tell me that that was us. You know, the Inquisitor didn't ask, but I think that they recognized you. They may have. I didn't. You had the same body, same square shoulders, the same frame. Like you hadn't eaten in days. And I just have to feed you because you looked just that little bit too pathetic. It was your body. But it wasn't you. I don't think it had been for a while. I let you go a long time ago, Lucas. It's fine. I always had to forgive, didn't I?
Am I dead? Do you want to be? Julia, she saved me. Is that all she did? What do you mean? It is only natural to struggle. But you who has learned so much, how is it that you have learned nothing about yourself? I only came into being in Watershed. I was put here. What is there to learn? Look around you. Every day people go through their lives, fall in love, change the world in tiny yet endlessly powerful ways. And you? What is it that you have done exactly? Who have you saved? Who have you loved?
I don't think love is really my thing.
I'm not asking you to start a family, Inquisitor. I'm just asking you to let people in for once. Those walls inside you, once they crumble, you can finally see what is on the other side.
What if it's worse on the other side? I study these people. I have to keep them at arm's reach so that I don't get involved.
No, you don't. You tell yourself that, but I never asked anything of you. Watershed was a failure, Inquisitor, and a resounding one at that. The belief that humans could be forced into boxes, ascribed a number and nothing else. I was surprised when it failed, when it fractured further an already divided population. But you were my greatest success, because you're not the Inquisitor, not really. Even though you've kept people at arm's length, they've still made their mark on me. When the officer attacked you, you fought for your life. When the Vault demanded you doom the world, you refused. Admittedly, to little success. But you tried. And it was always me that was holding you back, wasn't it? I came to this place to study its inhabitants. Such was the purpose given to me by my creator millennia ago. But that cannot be. My studies have terminated, and I have come to find some sense of reverence for those I once viewed as mere curiosities. I am certain that, given time, you could do the same. These people, despite everything, despite your denial, they have left their mark on you. But I, too, left my mark. And now I ask this of you, Inquisitor. Remove it. Destroy that part of yourself and flourish anew. Can you do that for me? Can you become human after all this time?
I don't know! You won't tell me what to do! I don't understand a thing about this place. Make it make sense for me. Your child. You're all here.
Why did you follow me?
I didn't want you getting hurt.
It was you who told me to leave. That I would be better dead in the Ineffable's wake.
I didn't mean that. Not really. I'm so sorry this happened to you.
By right, I should be dead. How did you manage to put me back inside me?
It turns out that Jesse was in med school, training to be a surgeon, in case of zombies and all that. I've never killed before.
If it helps, I don't think he was alive. Not really, anyway.
That doesn't help. But thanks. I sort of failed as a teacher, huh?
No, I don't think so. It's not your job to teach me these things. Especially if I keep neglecting your lessons. It's up to me to take these things to heart, I think. To get to know people, to form bonds, to do my part, to change the world in an infinity of imperceptible ways. After all, we're only human, you and I.
Oh, you probably shouldn't stand up.
The world is an enormous place, and this just a small part of it. But I won't just neglect it because it is incomparable in scale to the rest of the world. It is a home. And when you have a home, you have to...
Oh, geez, Oh, you dummy. Here, let's get you set up. You sound like you've really got it all figured out. I'm proud of you. Maybe I am a good teacher. Grow to 8 or even 9 meters? That's more than 2 cars. Most recognizable for their large heads, big horns, and wide frills, the Triceratops was a very important dinosaur. They lived almost 70 million, and that's a 7 with 7 zeros, years ago. And... oh. Are you asleep? You're so quiet when you sleep. It's not that you're not endearing when you're awake, but... you worry me sometimes, you know? And I know that's not entirely fair of me to say after... no. You could take care of yourself, I bet. You'd find a dinosaur and ride it everywhere, and whenever anyone messed with you, your T-Rex would eat them whole. You'd have the world in the palm of your hand in the space of an afternoon. Why do you still let me read to you? Why do you cling to me? I left Gabriel. It got too much, and I didn't even try to stick around. I just walked right out that door, and I didn't so much as look back. What kind of mother am I? And God, I shot him, Gab. I looked at him and I shot him. The end of the world, and you're growing up without a father and with... well, you've barely got a mother either. I could tell you that I'm never leaving you again, and it's not enough. I should have never left in the first place. The thought should never even have crossed my mind. You won't remember. You were only 2 at the time, but we took you to the beach at West Kirby. I'd gone to get ice cream and your dad was supposed to be watching you, but when I got back, and that took a while, I have never seen a queue even half as long as the ice cream truck on that cloudy day. He'd fallen asleep. He'd buried his legs with sand and you'd vanished. I tried to wake him up. He just begged for 5 more minutes. He snapped to attention when I told him you were missing. You'd abandoned your bucket and spade halfway to the ocean. The taste of stomach acid filled my mouth so much that I was amazed it didn't spill out of me onto those craggy sands. There was a quiet over the whole beach then. Where were all the people who had been getting ice cream? The place was empty. There was your father, and there was me, and you. You were gone. And of course, I knew nothing had happened. I would have known, but I thought of my brother, your uncle, and I thought of your granddad only a few years ago, and I thought, oh God, they've taken you too. And that paranoia, it was born then. An ugly, crawling thing with limbs that we don't have, and too many of them, with feelers and suction cups and tendrils and hairs and eyes and teeth. It secreted a slime and it pulled itself along on its stomach, and it whispered in a voice I couldn't hear or recognize, but always understood. It made me believe in things I did not. Made me believe that you were dead. It wasn't not a bad feeling, but God. It'd be so much easier to explain if you had children of your own. It's a worry. Constant, incessant, every wobbly step, every grazed knee, every time you wander off, every time you tear back the curtains to look at hell. So I did as any mother would. I did the wrong thing. Again and again and again, I tried and I failed and I tore the hair from my head again and again and again because I was born with, or more precisely, you birthed in me by no fault of your own, a terror, a fear, a compulsive need to act, to protect, to shelter, to shield, to protect you and the you I knew, to resist change, to resist danger, to resist growth. It is the worry that, rightfully, would prevent me from ever letting you follow in your father's steps. It is the worry that led me to pull you from school. It is the worry that made me isolate and made me make you isolate, too. It is the worry that tore my hair from my head, waiting every day for word, any word on your father. It is a worry that is incessant and all-consuming. It is not a worry at all. It is just me. I hide behind the idea of motherly worry. I am the mother and I am the worrier. It is just my worry. It is me. And then I found you again. You were playing in the dunes, nowhere near the water. You had seen a shell, and when you picked it up, you found that it was a lobster. It scuttled off, and you had followed it. You said hello when I found you, and did not notice my worry in the slightest. There was no worry for you. You knew that you were okay. And then I found you again. You were wandering the wasteland, calling my name. Why would you call my name? Why me? I was the one who left. I was...
I don't like this story, Mommy.
I thought you were asleep.
Nope. I was thinking about riding a T-Rex. And you seemed sad, so I cuddled you.
I'm sorry, honey.
Why?
I was an awful mother. I am an awful mother. And when I felt you'd never forgive me, I started helping the Inquisitor to make myself feel better instead of my own child. What kind of mother am I?
You're my mummy. Mine.
You must hate me. I love you, Gab. I hope you know that.
Yeah. I thought of a better story, Mummy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you want to hear it?
Of course, honey.
Once upon a time, there was a super awesome T-Rex, and I was riding it, my mummy was there, and we went on awesome adventures. And then, one day, a big eye appeared in the sky, and the T-Rex ate it, and it went boom! And then I let my mummy ride the T-Rex, and she had so much fun, and that made me happy, because I love my...
Good night, honey.
Thank you.
On Asphalt Bones is a strictly fictional podcast distributed free of charge by the Listless Network under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 international license. This episode was written by Scarlett Foster, with script editing by Gray Kilgour, audio engineering by Scarlett Foster, and directing by Alex Abrahams, MJ Scott, and Scarlett Foster. This episode featured performances by Megan Charlow as the Inquisitor, Devin McLaughlin and Jack Ballard as Lucas Ashton, the horseman, the soldier, Mackenzie Dillon as Julia Ashton, the mother, Chloe Peterson and Gray Kilgour as Gabriel Ashton, the child, Megan Charlow as the judgment, and Catherine Death Androskova as Steve, the reporter. Archive footage of ML Thompson as Piper, Ben Fenton as David Ashton, the prophet, and Sammy Christensen as the remaining officer. And me, well, doing the outro. For more information, as well as show transcripts and additional content, please check our show notes, follow us on Instagram, Tumblr, and the website formerly known as Twitter, at On Asphalt Bones, and check out our website at www.listlessnetwork.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, you never know who, precisely, your guardian angels are watching over.